Amen. Sometimes I wonder if that's a question or a statement. How great is our God? How great is our God? Or how great is our God? And sometimes both are appropriate, right? Sometimes we just need to ask, hey, tell me how great is our God? And sometimes I need to tell you how great is our God. I love that song. That's one of my favorites. So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to be busy. We're going to be busy today. I've got most of the scripture I'm going to use will be on the screens for you. But we're going to begin in Isaiah. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 40. And then also hold your finger there and then flip over to Luke chapter 15. Okay? And you may be thinking, well, wait a minute, one's Old Testament, one's New Testament. How are those going to fit together? And I think we'll find a good fit for them here in a little bit. Isaiah chapter 40, there's going to be about, I think, four verses, and then Luke chapter 15 is another four verses. But I'm going to start in Isaiah chapter 40, and I'm going to begin with verse 27. Now, what you need to know here is God's people are on the run. This is the children of Israel. They're running running away, and they're trying to get free, and they're scared. And so God says here in verse 27, it says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." How great is our God? That's what he's saying right here. In verse 29, he says, "He gives strength to the strong." To the strong? Strength to the... Well, I guess that makes sense, because if you're already strong, why do you need more strength, right? He gives strength to the weary. That's good news. Amen. That's good news, because I get weary. And he increases the power of the weak. That's a great God. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Another version says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. That's what we're talking about this morning, waiting. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Matter of fact, it goes on, it says, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Good news. Good news. Now turn over to Luke chapter 15. And in verse 28, this is the story. We've talked about this story here quite a bit frequently. This is the story of the prodigal son, or the lost son. And he goes off, he says, "Dad, I basically, I wish you were dead already so I could have my money. Can I have my money now?" So the father, who represents God in the story, because it's a parable, he says, here's your inheritance. You can have it now. And he goes off and he squanders it, and with prostitutes and wild living and probably drunken parties and who knows what else. Probably went to the casino and stuff too, but all of this stuff, I mean, he was just living it up. And then he turned around and found out, hey, I'm out of resources. And then a famine came on the land, and he got a job feeding pigs, which is a big deal for a Jewish guy. Okay, Jews don't do pigs, but he did because he had to. Then he got there, laying there thinking one night, oh, how I wish I could just be back at my father's house. I would go back there and just work, because even my father's workers, his servants, have it better than I've got it now. So he returns back, and the father, remember, a picture of God, meets him, restores him, gives him a ring and sandals and a robe, and kills a fatted calf, and manages a good party. And the other brother comes on and says, "Hey, what's up?" They said, "Hey, it's great. It's a party. Your brother was lost, and now he's found. He's come home. Come on in and join the party." Well, here we find the older brother not joining the party. Okay? And he's sitting out there like he's outside. And I think he's just kind of pouting like this. And have you ever seen a kid do that? They kind of swell up like this, and the lip pokes out, and they just sit there and pout, arms crossed. Kind of, they knit their eyebrows together a little bit. Am I doing that good? Is that how I do it, baby? Okay. This is how I do it when I don't get something I want. But I imagine this guy in this parable was there like that. And in verse 28, it says, "The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends.'" You know, they have that whiny voice when they do that. "You never even gave me a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Waiting. We're going to see how these two tie together. Waiting. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? We've talked about being in the waiting room, and sometimes God has us in the waiting room to grow us, to stretch us, to teach us, to prepare us for whatever lies beyond the door, right? Sometimes he's preparing the situation on the other side of the door. But what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Some are here today, I believe, waiting to hear from God. Amen. Or waiting to feel his spirit move within you. But you may be saying to yourself, "Well, I'll worship or I'll respond when I get that feeling, when I feel that movement of God. When I'm waiting for God to move in my life, and when he does, I'll respond." Others are here today saying, "I'm not going to wait till I feel it, because I already know God is there and I know he's active and working, and he is always worthy of my praise. So I'm going to go ahead and get busy with my praise." Whichever one you are this morning, my hope and my prayer is that if you haven't done so yet, that today, right now, you will open yourself up and say, "Lord, here I am. I'm through waiting. I'm ready to get active. And if the situation is not ready for me yet, Lord, let me get busy getting prepared." Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we ask, Father, that you would help us today during this time. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds. Father, help us to be receptive to this message today. Father, I believe that this message will change somebody's life today. Father, I pray that when you move, people will respond. And Father, I even pray that before you move, people will respond in anticipation of your movement. Father, I think sometimes we complain and we say, "Lord, we're waiting on you. We're waiting on you." And you just look at us and shake your head and say, "Well, I'm waiting on you." Father, help us to move. In Jesus' name, amen. In both of these passages, both the Israelites and the prodigal son, both children, okay, the son and the Israelite children, both are claiming that God has not done something for them that they want him to do or feel it was rightfully theirs. You see, remember, the prodigal son is a picture of God. It's a parable. It's not an actual event. It's a parable. The father represents God the Father, and the children, the sons, represent us. And so the son is saying to the dad, basically to God, "You never even gave me a goat." Remember, with the lip out? And this brother, this son of yours, comes home and you throw him a party and I feel neglected. And well, that's what the other children were thinking too. They were running from Pharaoh and they're thinking, "Oh, now we're neglected. He brought us out here and now he just left us." They're about to be taken into captivity and they're faced with the idea that God has forgotten them. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27, I think I have that verse next. This verse in the NIV talked about, it's it here, what did it say? It said, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." But in the New American Standard, it goes a little more accurate and a little more intimate. It says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God." What is rightfully mine, my just cause, is not happening. I deserve this, and it's not coming about. My just claim. I had a just claim the other day. You ever had to take up a just claim with the claims department or the customer service, and you dial the 1-800 number and you expect to talk to somebody, and it's awesome. And you're sitting there and you're just waiting. The phone's ringing, and you get this voice, but it's not a real person on the other line. It's a robot, and they tell you, "If you would like to, our venue has recently changed. If you would like to speak with a customer," that's always the last one, right? Press something. So then you press that number. "To get a better understanding of your issue, please answer one of the following things." And you say, they say, "Do you want to talk to a customer representative?" You say, "Yes." They say, "I didn't hear you. Let me repeat. Would you like to talk to a customer service representative?" "Yes." "I'm sorry. It doesn't match our, please repeat." And you finally get through. And then they say, "Connecting you to a customer service representative." You're thinking, "All right." Music plays. They say, "Your call is very important to us." "Yeah, come on. Yeah, anybody else? Your call, well, hang on a minute. My call is very important to you and it's taking me 10 minutes just to get to this point. No telling how much longer I'm going to have to wait till I actually speak to a living, breathing person that possibly even lives in my country and speaks my language." Talk about waiting rooms, right? I have a just claim. You made a mistake on my bill and I want you to fix it. I have to wait for you to do that. A just cause. "Your call is very important to us." I think we should be accurate sometime and just say, "Your call is somewhat important to us. When we get around to it, we'll let you know." How about that? At least some honesty would be appreciated in the situation, right? In verse 28, right after that verse, he says, Why do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. Basically, he's saying, don't you know? It's not so much about you as it is about a great God who was here long before you ever got here. Back in Luke chapter 15, you see, we think we're waiting. Because we're like the center of the universe. And if it's not happening fast enough for me, it's just wrong. Back here in Luke chapter 15, the brother's upset. And he's feeling neglected, deprived, right? I'm cheated out of the goat. I mean, he gets a fatted calf. I never even got a little scrawny goat. Are you kidding me? What's going on here? What does it mean to wait on God? To wait on God. Tell you what it doesn't mean. It does not mean that we're passive. just hanging out. It means that we're to be active, learning, and growing. Waiting is not about chilling out in the lazy boy with a glass of sweet tea, which is a good place, okay? And just waiting for God to get up off his throne and do something, right? Well, there's nothing I can do. God has to do it. We're in the desert. We can't do anything. God has to do it. All I can do is just sit here. Might as well complain while I'm doing it, right? Waiting is not just about waiting. Waiting is about doing something while you're waiting. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I told you we're going to be flipping back and forth, y'all. It says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will renew their strength. He goes on and says, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is what we're talking about in the waiting. They're busy. They're mounting up. They're running. They're walking. They're not sitting. They're busy. They're doing something. They don't sit around and just wait for God to do something. They move and they act. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I think that sometimes what we call patience, heaven calls procrastination. Well, I'm just waiting on God. Excuse me, we'd like to ask you if you would be interested in helping with this area of our church. Well, let me just pray about that. Absolutely, you need to pray about that. But 6 weeks later, when you're approached again with the same question, yeah, I'm still praying about that. I'm still praying about that. I'm still praying. I'm going to pray about that. I need to pray some more. Sometimes what I think, I'm just waiting to hear from God on what he wants me to do in that situation. I think sometimes what we call patience is actually called procrastination from the heavenly view. Procrastination often masks itself as patience. Right? Honey, did you take out the trash? No, I'm just patient with the trash, baby. Try that one. Yeah, try that. I'm just patient with the trash. I know that it's going to be there, and I'm here for the trash. I'm for the trash. I'm just being patient with my trash. I'm learning patience with my trash. That's not patience. That's procrastination. Right? If you're in that situation, you need to get up off your chair, go knock on your son's door, and tell him to take out the trash. You can spend your whole life waiting for God to do something for you that he's already done. We're going to see that here. In Luke 15, the boy is pouting and he's upset. And he says, you never even gave me a goat and I wanted to have a party with my friends, but no, I didn't get anything. The dad, maybe you've heard this phrase. If you're waiting on me, you're backing up. Ever heard that phrase? If you're waiting on me, you're backing up. It means if you're waiting for me to do something, you're getting further and further behind because I'm not backing up that way. I'm going this way. And so you're like backing up. You're getting farther and farther away. If you're not doing something, you're backing up. If you're waiting on me, you're going the wrong direction because I'm not waiting. I'm moving. I'm active. You'd be best to get moving and active also. If you're waiting on me, you're backing up. It's like he's saying, boy, you want me to give you a goat? That goat that you want me to give you is already yours. Don't you remember when your little brother asked for his inheritance? I took all my possessions and I divided that amongst you. Matter of fact, you got a double portion because you're the oldest. Everything that I have is already yours. You want a goat? Go get your own goat. It's already yours. Some of you are standing outside with crossed arms, angry, depressed, bitter, or maybe even just feeling neglected because you fail to realize that the Father has already given you what you need and the means to get what you want as long as it honors God and used for his purposes. but we think it's easier to procrastinate. We call it waiting. Then we complain because God's not moving. I'm waiting on the trash. I'm patiently waiting for the trash, which is really procrastination. Then we get upset because the trash is still there and it starts to stink. Oh, I'm so mad at that trash. And we haven't gotten up to take it out yet. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Do you not know? Have you not heard? He says to do these things, you mount up. You run. You walk. Why are you waiting for something God has already given you? You want forgiveness? Christ has already offered it. You want salvation? Christ has already paid for it. You want a relationship with God? He has already extended an invitation. What are you waiting for? You want you some? God says, you come get you some. Amen. You want some of this? You come get you some. You know, that used to be an invitation for a fight. You want some of this? Believe I do. Come get you some. And then we'd wrestle and roll around. Zachary and I used to, before he got big and strong and I could take him, we used to wrestle on the bed. And we had this, just real quick, we had a king-size bed. And we'd wrestle. And he was just a little bitty guy. And I would let him beat me a little bit. And then I'd throw him off the bed. Well, off the bed was an imaginary ocean full of tuna fish. I don't know why he was afraid of tuna fish, but I mean, I would have said sharks or man-eating whales or something, but tuna fish was awful. And so I would throw him into the tuna fish. He said, not the tuna fish. No, tuna fish, tuna fish. And he'd come climbing back up and we'd wrestle some more. We had great times. But I tell him, we'd be messing around. And I tell him, you want you some? Yeah, come get you some. Then we'd start wrestling. That's what God says to you, folks. You want you some? You want you some peace? You come get you some. Yeah. Amen. You want some forgiveness? Mm-hmm. You come get you some. I got a bunch of it. Amen. You want joy? Yeah. You come get you some. Because here's the deal. Anything you need or want is already yours. Amen. You need to realize that God has already given you everything that you need. Or the means to get it. In Exodus chapter 14, this is not one of the passages I gave you to turn to, but if you want to, you can. But the word this will be on the screen. Exodus chapter 14. This is where the children are running from the Pharaoh. I alluded to that fact a while ago when I was in the wrong book. But this is where they're running from Pharaoh. They're running scared. They were complaining to Moses. And in verse 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. It will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. I'm going to stop right there for a second. Because most of the times we stop there. And in verse 13, he tells them the Lord will fight for them. They just need to be still. But most of the time, our faith ends at the end of verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. He will deliver you. You need only be still. We're waiting for God to do it. I'm patient. I'm waiting for God. I'm waiting for God. He's going to do it. But let's look real quick at what God had to say about that in the very next verse, in verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Move, do something. Verse 16, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through on dry land. Listen to this. Raise your staff, the staff that you already have, right? Stretch out your hand. the hand that you already have, it's attached to the end of your arm, that one that you've already gotten, stretch that out and move on. And move on. Why are you crying out to me? You already have everything you need. I've already given you the means to get to where I want you to be. Move on. They were complaining and waiting when God had already given them the means to do exactly what they needed to do. And sometimes I think God's saying the same thing to us. Why are you crying out to me? Do something. Do something. You already have the resources you need to restore a relationship. If you can't reach out to somebody, make contact with somebody you need to restore a relationship with today, there's a problem. You can Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, text, phone call, landline, cell phone, Skype, FaceTime, get in a car and drive, right? Do face-to-face, which is the old style of communication. That's so old and ancient, right? Snail mail, email, whatever kind of mail. You've got the resources to do that. Maybe you need to end a relationship. You've got the resources to do that too. Maybe you need to get a job. Maybe you need to go to work at the job you already have. Maybe you need to manage your money better. But whatever it is, you need to make a decision. And then you need to act. You don't make a decision and then think, I'm just going to wait on God. God will handle it. God will do it. God will take care of it. Moses told me that. He did. And then he got corrected by God. And God said, why are you crying to me? Do something. That's what I'm going to tell you this morning. Why are you crying to me? Do something. What are you waiting for? Get your own goat. It's already yours. Quit complaining about what you don't have. Realize what you do have, and what you do have is more than enough to accomplish everything I have for you to do. So get busy. Amen. I'm going to get fired up in a minute. It's time to quit procrastinating. It's past time to quit procrastinating. And it's time to start acting. While we're waiting. Then, when God says, now the waiting time is over, now it's time to really get busy, then you're going to be prepared for it. Let me ask you this. Let's just say, like my last illustration before we close. Let's just say you're an Olympic runner. And it's when's the next time the Olympic Games come on? Anybody, somebody? 2016? Okay. 2016. So let's just say that you spend 2015 waiting for the games. Right? You're a runner, you're a sprinter, and you're fast. You get off the blocks and you go and you're on the quarter mile. Let's put it the quarter mile. They call that a sprint, which I don't know. It's a long way for me, but the sprint. You run a quarter mile and you spend all of 2015 waiting for the Olympics. You're waiting for the Olympics. But you're not doing anything. You're just waiting for the Olympics. Okay? The Olympics come around. They send you off to the Olympic place. You show up. Now, you haven't done anything all year long, but you're at the Olympics. Right? How well are you going to perform in the Olympics when you've not done any training? You haven't been eating right. You haven't been drinking the fluids you need to be drinking. You haven't been training. You haven't been sleeping where you need to sleep, how you need to sleep, as much you need to sleep. You haven't been doing any of that. You've just been waiting. When the time comes and the pistol goes off, you're going to get left behind. So in the waiting time, while we're waiting for the Olympics, we still need to be busy. What are you waiting for? Get the starting blocks out. Get your shoes with the little bitty metal spikes on the bottom. Get them out. Get them on. Get you some spandex shorts on. Cover them up with some wind shorts because nobody wants to see a bunch of spandex. Get busy, get active, get training. That's what we're talking about. If you're sitting around saying, I'm just waiting for God to move. I'm waiting for God. I'm waiting for that time, that God-appointed time when it's going to happen. I'm just waiting for that. But listen, folks, if you've not been busy, when that time-appointed time comes, when that God-appointed time comes, you're going to be ill-prepared. You need to get busy right now. You need to get busy. Some of you need to get busy and receive salvation. Some of you need to get busy and get back in a right relationship with God the Father. Some of you need to get busy and get back in a right relationship with somebody, maybe a family member that you've grown estranged from. Some of you need to get busy and get some things squared away in your life so that when the time comes, you are prepared and you're ready. The good part is you don't have to do it alone. He says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you to the end of the earth, to the end of the age. I'm with you, and he will prepare you. He will work with you, but you have a responsibility to work with him and to get busy and get active. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting for? If I can help you with a spiritual decision here or a question you have, I would love to visit with you about it. Maybe you need to come get straight to the altar and say, God, I'm sorry, I've just been waiting. I've been twiddling my thumbs, and I realize that really what it is procrastination. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to get busy. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to develop a reading plan. I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. I'm going to start having time of prayer every day. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to start volunteering. I'm going to be faithful with my tithes. Whatever it is, you need to square up. The time is now. It's not later. It's now. You got to get ready now. And the only way to get ready is to get moving. What are you waiting for? Get your own goat. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that today you have spoken a word, that you've bypassed my voice altogether, Father. And you've spoken directly to somebody's heart. And they want to respond to you, and they're not going to wait. They're going to be actively moving in this time while you're preparing them for something greater down the road. Father, I pray that they would move. I pray that they would act. I pray that they would step out and they would do something now. I love what you said to Moses. Why are you crying out to me? You already have everything you need. Just do something. Father, help us to just do something. In Jesus' name, amen. You stand and as we sing.